I think the Apple logo is like take a bite out of an apple. I think that was their slogan. I think that's why there's the bite in it. And the bite was spelt like BYTE, as in computer bite.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back to Design Huddle. Today we're going to be talking about logos and logo design. But before that, Mustafa, what are your thoughts on Jeffrey Bezos going to outer space for like 10 minutes?
Well, the first thoughts was, did he have Amazon Prime? And it would have been funnier if he returned back in bubble wrap with two boxes, like an unnecessary packaging. That would have been funnier.
Yeah, like he delivered.
If he just came back in a cardboard box and it was like, and like him just cushioned in bubble wrap, and that's how he landed on, you know, like a big bubble wrap suit. I don't know if this was misquoted in the press, but it sounded like he said something along the lines of, well, you lot paid for it, so, you know, you should congratulate yourselves, which I thought was quite arrogant if he actually said that, but I didn't check to see if he did actually say that.
I saw that on Twitter. I wasn't sure if that was true or not, but it's pretty tone deaf, if you ask me.
Yeah, especially like, you know, I mean, him and Richard Branson, you know, more money than sense. There's more problems on Earth, and we know less about our oceans than we do about space, apparently. So, you know, but there you go.
Yeah, here's a stat for you. Jeffrey Bezos added $1.7 billion to his net worth since he went to space. So he literally could have dumped $1 billion out of his spaceship and still gained more money in the last 36 hours than 23,000 Amazon warehouse workers will make all year combined. It's insane.
Yeah, I think the discrepancy between rich and poor is terrible. And I think someone did like an analysis of like what CEOs earn versus what their employees earn, and that gap has just grown and grown and grown like exponentially. So, yeah, I mean, you can't. There's a cap and a limit, and I think, yeah, it makes me feel uncomfortable, these things, you know, like I don't, it's just so unnecessary, but you know, there you go.
No, I kind of agree. I'm like, I guess my stance is that I wish the money could be allocated to a more pressing issue. I do think there is value in space exploration, but I just think there's a lot of other things that we could be using those resources for. It's things that are pretty straightforward, like making sure everybody is like well-fed, clean water, better infrastructure. I don't know, bank the unbanked. Like there's a million different things that I think we should be devoting billions of dollars to, but it's also funny because it dominates the news cycle. So I also think it takes away energy from other positive or all the good stuff that might be going on as well in addition to it. So, I just wanted to see what your thoughts were because it was just like blowing up my Twitter timeline and I wanted to see if you thought the same.
Yeah, no, I thought it was just ridiculous. And it just reminded me of like lots of jokes about CEO, some of them really inappropriate, so I won't repeat them, but you know, I mean, I just don't know. Anyways, moving on. This week.
Yeah. So, we have a lot of awesome logo-inspired articles from Creative Blog. It's one of, like, our most popular, you know, references and media sources that we use. So, which one did you want to start with? I thought they were all pretty compelling.
Yeah, so Creative Block is a collection of design magazines, like .NET magazine, which is a web design magazine, web designer magazine, and a few others, but mostly on the creative side, but they do some coding things as well. And so they're great. So the Creative Block is basically all of the art and design articles which they publish in their magazine, they eventually put on it is one whole portal site. So I think the first article I found, which was kind of interesting and compelling, and it was like, what do you get when you combine the world's most famous iconic logos? So what a bunch of designers have been doing is taking, say, prominent, well, it looks like fast food restaurant logos, and then smashing them with like sportswear logos. It's very interesting visually. I'm not sure if they all work. So for example, they've taken the Burger King logo and they've combined it with the Nike logo, which kind of looks visually interesting. I'm not even sure why someone would do this, but it's an interesting exploration in logo design. And just like stretching.
Is it just to, that's what my first question is this just to show that they can do it? Because I don't like the second one that's shown is like an Adidas plus McDonald's logo, and I personally do not like that one at all. I think the Burger King one works a little bit better, but is there any like advantage to, is this just literally like a creative exercise for logo designers to do to get inspired? Or
I'm guessing they're basically trying to see what will happen. And also it's like sometimes like designers will explore like different shapes being combined. And the goal is maybe they're flexing their illustrator muscles just to see like what they could possibly do. And doing these like little small experimental projects gives designers and illustrators the opportunity to just try out stuff, which may not actually work within the context of what they're doing because it's just like Futurescape exploration. But it's like experimenting that you might be able to use an element of that. Like another person who's quite newsworthy at the moment is Kanye West. And what he does with music is that he does these really weird exploratory stuff. Sometimes it's amazing and it sets off a trend. And other times you think, what is he doing? More often than not these days, it's mostly what is he doing? And I think this is kind of one of those weird explorations. So did the KFC logo with the champion jersey. I mean, that's just a bit lazy, to be honest. And then like Pizza Hut with Air Jordan. I just found that to be like, I think someone just got bored at that point. But like the Nike logo with with Burger King. I think, you know, it's quite an interesting use of shapes and stuff. And again, it's just an exploration of shapes. Feel free to check those designs out. I mean, some of them go back a few years, but it's like, again, it's like the new cycle at the moment. It's like, I think designers are bored at home. The second article, again, from Creative Block, which I found was quite interesting, was like the 15 rules of crafting perfect logos. And again, it's always the common design companies, VW, Apple, Nike, Beats. I really do like the Beats logo, actually. I know Dr. Dre is a bit seen as a controversial figure because of, like, you know, his past, shall we say. Especially when it comes to violence. So the name Beats by Dre is quite inappropriate if you think about it. But I think as a logo of what it actually is, it's such a beautifully simple shape. And it just basically, this article goes about like what's important in logo design, like the golden rules of logo design. I'm quite skeptical when it comes to like the golden rules of logo design, because a lot of them, like if you take the Apple logo, for instance, it's quite beautiful in a shape, right? It has nothing to do with computing when you look at it. It's not like a representation of tech. But then you take, say, the Coca-Cola logo, which is a complete opposite in every possible facet, but it's still considered up there as a beautiful logo. So it's like when you look at the golden rules of logo design, you have to be careful in how much you buy into some of the BS that's often propagated. And if you just look at the timeline of like the Apple logo, like, you know, it just kind of shows that having something that stretches throughout time is really important. What do you think about this article? I mean, it's these things are interesting and inspirational, but when I look at, because I've done the history of branding before. Go on.
I think it's always, some of these brands are so iconic that I like to like peel back the curtain and understand the process of how they got there. Like the Apple logo, I actually like loved the multicolor original Apple logo. I thought that was like so compelling at the time, and now it's just like, you know, the silhouette of an apple.
Yeah, if you scroll down the article. If you scroll down the articles, we're screen sharing as well for the videos. But if you scroll down the article, you actually see like the evolution from 1976.
Oh, this is keep sweet. Going. Yeah.
So it goes through like the original illustrative logo from Apple, which they commissioned an illustrator to do that. Like really detailed illustration.
Look at the 1976 version. Like, look at the jump. So like the 1976 version, I can't even really tell what it is. It looks like it's like Isaac Newton sitting under a tree that says the Apple Company, which I've actually never seen that logo. And then they make this like massive leap to the iconic 1977 logo, which has like the multicolors, the green, yellow, orange, red, purple, blue Apple logo. And then I guess the 1995 one was really just like, if you think about it, that's like peak internet.com era. Everyone's trying to be like sleek and trendy. And then the other thing I like is that the turn of the century, you know, 2001, you have this like new era, new decade, like more sleek, super polished technical version. And then they went back. I didn't never realize that in 1998, Apple had the same logo as they did when they made the change in 2015. So I think I actually love this progression that we saw.
Well, if you think about it, 98 would be... So when did the iMac was released? What, 97, 98? I'm not sure if this timeline of logos is actually accurate. Yeah, no, the 98 version... I'm not sure if this timeline is actually accurate. Because the 98 version looks like the iPod silhouette design that they did. Remember, it was like the block colors and you could see people dancing with... The visual thing there was the white headphones. And I think with Steve Jobs, he had this thing of he never liked showing the products in the ads because I think he followed Nike's philosophy of you never saw the shoe, you only saw like the movement, the motion, the sports person, like what can be achieved, you know, the just do it. So it's all about an idea rather than you're trying to sell a product. So, it's... I think the Apple logo is like take a bite out of an apple. I think that was their slogan. I think that's why there's the bite in it. And the bite was spelt like B-Y-T-E as in computer bite. I think that's where it came from. But anyways, I mean, this article goes...
Oh, I never realized that. That's super cool. I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, I think that's what it is from what I can remember. But then you look at, say, the Nike logo. That was designed by a student. I think they paid $30 for it. If you can imagine $30, and that's the most famous sportswear brand. But what was great about the designer who did it was years later they were given a golden Nike ring and like something like $100 million worth of stock from Nike. So they made it right to the student, right? Because they thought, you know, we can't just pay $30 for this thing and just be like the most biggest sportswear brand and not help the designer. So they made it right in the end. So I think Nike has the award for like the most expensive and cheapest logo of all time as a result. So that's quite interesting. But yeah, so some of these examples, like, you know, okay, there's like, just as you scrolled on, always get a second opinion is like some of the faux pas you get in logo design. And we've all seen them where the shape from the designer's point of view is supposed to be like a statue, but then, It's like it looks like something else when you do a double take. We've seen these many of these logos, so.
Yeah, I always think this kind of goes without saying though, but like, you know, designing by yourself can be dangerous because when you're staring at a logo for a long time, the colors, the shapes kind of blend together and you kind of lose perspective. So I do think that this is obviously just like a funny example, but. I'm sure like designing in groups, it goes through like a million iterations before it actually gets handed off like this. But this one I've seen before. And if you don't know what we're talking about, just Google the Brazilian Institute of of Oriental Studies and you'll see the logo that we're talking about.
Yeah, it looks like a building being shoved up someone's backside as a point of reference. red and yellow.
That's like the most British way of explaining it ever.
I was trying to without saying the A word. But just to sort of cap this article off, like the golden rules that they lay out is lay out the groundwork, make sure you go through sketches, think about the logo working in full color and black and white, keep it appropriate, aim for recall so that people can actually recognize the shape, try to explore and strive for difference, consider your own typography, don't be too literal, like very common sense things. One thing which I saw recently, I think Chris Doe shared it on Twitter, sorry, on LinkedIn, and someone designed a logo for, I think it's art, it's like an art group, and so what they've done is they've made it the word art, but it looks like a boot, two boots walking, so they've reversed the R, so that looks like a boot, and the T looks like a boot, and as a concept looked great. The problem is they just took the letters and they just tilted them. What would have been nice if they actually massaged the shape of the letter so it looks a little bit more like the form. I think that's when you go from a decent idea to like a great execution. And so, yeah, you know, so this is a good article that's worth checking out. Just so that we move on to the next one. So bold Visa rebrands to aim to show more. It's more than a credit card. So that Visa, the credit card company, has done like an interesting rebrand. So if you don't know, the traditional Visa logo is like a strip of blue and a strip of orange or orange yellow, and then with the word Visa in between. It kind of reminds me of a flag, like the original actual design.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought the second I saw it. Same colors, but just rearranged. So it's kind of interesting that they went with that approach.
Yeah, I remember them.
Do you think it has something to do with like they're trying to make it look like an equal sign?
It could be. Could be. I mean, you know, but I mean, they don't say that in the. So what's it say? A cashless society, everyone out everywhere by using a demographic strap line. Meet Visa. So they, I think they're trying to tap into Gen Z. I mean, that's what everyone is, right? Making, so the visuals is like people on roller skates, but roller skates is like the 1980s. So, but everything, I suppose, is coming back.
Yeah.
Including.
I mean, if you look at the. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say everything's coming back, including pandemics. So I was going to go take a bleak turn there. But yeah, no, yeah. The thing that annoyed me about this is the blue that they're using. It reminds me of the default link blue that you get on websites which haven't been styled correctly. It's just,
yeah,
it's too sharp.
Everything about this to me says boring. Like banking, like, I mean, this is just like, in terms of like a brand evolution, this just is, it doesn't do anything for me. I'm not inspired. I think the colors of, I agree, the blue comes across as like the old school, like just standard blue link, hyperlink. The yellow is just like kind of like a brown mustard color, which supposedly is actually, I was watching this Vox series called Explained, and they were talking about how we perceive beauty. And this color yellow, like this mustard yellow, is actually like kids love it. Like it's like one of the most soothing colors for infants.
Interesting.
But adults hate it. And it's because they associate it with like negative things, as you can imagine, like, you know, going to the bathroom, for example. So it was a really interesting study that kids preferred it, adults didn't. And it was all about how beauty is actually shaped by our experiences. Which I thought is actually like a really interesting approach to like figuring out like how and when to pick colors. There's also all of the like psychological benefits of like these colors. They're also contrasting colors on the color wheel, like yellow and blue are complementary.
Yeah.
So there's like some advantages there, but they were going, so like the just to read quickly on the brand guidelines, the like the theme or what they're trying to go for is to be accessible, lead with the heart, balance with the head, simply powerful, powerfully simple, lean into the future, show up fully, set the stage for amazing. That to me just is like a bunch of buzzwords. Like at the end of the day, this is a credit card company. Like they're not like a philanthropist like company like solving world hunger. So it's just like, part of me is like, I don't like how brands don't just like own what they are. You know what I mean? Like to me, this just like doesn't connect with the actual like product and services that they're providing.
Well, I mean, the thing is the visual.
I don't know. Maybe I'm
the visual image that they're using is people dancing on rollerblades. Like, are they dancing because, hey, we're in debt? we haven't paid off our credit cards. Woohoo! Yeah, I mean...
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, Gen Z is not looking for... Like, they want, like, lower interest rates, better, like, budgeting. Like, I guess it's like the brand, to me, doesn't do anything to differentiate itself from its old school, like, connotation. When I think Visa, I think outdated credit card company. Like, that's what I think. So it's like, this branding to me isn't bold enough to change my perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I mean, I think we can... So there's a thumbs down from us, basically. Let's move on to the next one. Logo type. This is another sort of best of class logo article from Creative Block, where they're looking at some of the prominent logos. Google's obviously featured because of the massive shift in 2015 from a serif to a sans serif typeface. And so that's like a complete change. Like, typically this is like, in traditional logo design school, massive changes or huge leaps are often a big no-no. But I think in Google's case, the brand it became bigger than the logo, so the four colors basically is the brand. Moving on from that, you have like Motor City Chop Shop, which is a really beautiful illustrative logo, and showing that you can see like there's a motorcycle in there, you can see there's like a mechanic doing something in there. It's like really interesting shapes. The challenge with logos like this is they require to be at a certain size, because if they go beyond the size, too small, the legibility just goes. And so logos like that, you can see they need to be celebrated, and so they need to be in a really big space for you to appreciate them. And
it like looks good on a sign, but like terrible on a napkin.
Actually, well, it depends on if it's embossed on the napkin, it might do, but it'd have to take up the entire napkin for it to be.
Yeah, I guess you're. I guess. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like smaller even than that.
On a business card or on a logo on a site, they might struggle. Like, you know.
Right.
But then you have the V&A logo, which is like a gallery in the UK. Again, I mean, it's so beautifully simple. It's the V, an ampersand, and an A, and the ampersand and A is molded together. I mean, that to me is like a work of art. But, you know, I think sometimes with logo design, you have to be lucky on the name and the words and the letters of the company, because that the shapes of those letters will allow you to develop a mark that's unique. But, you know, some letters just don't meld well together. Like, yeah. So that's sometimes a bit of luck. The Coca-Cola logo, again, obviously always features as like a beautifully illustrated thing. And also it's like time captured, because it was designed at a time in the American industrial period. Like, I think it was like the 1800s. And so there is like something beautiful there, because it's also like a time capsule. So it's like an appreciation that we will always have. To pitch a logo like this today would be very difficult, I reckon. But it's so iconic that to change that logo would be dangerous. And then, you know, there's like there's always the FedEx logo is always the one that everyone mentions, because of the arrow in between the capital E and the X, because it's like always delivery and always on the go. But if you take away that aspect of it, I always find the FedEx logo quite boring, and I don't like the typeface at all. It just seems very boring.
Yeah, the typeface, I love the E and the X design of like baking in the getting you. It's a great image for a logistics company, but I've never liked the typography, and I never really liked the colors of purple and orange either.
Yeah, and then the final one.
Again.
You go.
No. I was just going to say, like, this is similar to Visa, where they're complementary colors on the color wheel. So like orange and purple are opposite of each other, so that's why they like work together. But I've just never personally been a fan of this
one. Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to recognize a bit. I mean, it does what it says on the tin, really. The final example is, this is ITV. It's a news channel in the UK, or Channel 3, as it was known before. And this was like has won an awards because it's like a beautiful shape. It's the three letters ITV, but it's done like almost like a W, like it's joined up together, and then as the shapes overlap, the color changes, and it's really pretty. And so, yeah, you can still do some interesting things even with like letters that don't typically work well together. So yeah, again, worth checking out this article, especially if you're interested in logo design, like best of class and things to actually look out for. And the final article that we have is another rebrand, Wasps, which is a rugby team. So rugby is what you, I suppose, might call American football, but in the US, but rugby is American football, but without all of the protective gear. So if you're watching a rugby match, you'll just see people like ripping. ripping their faces
sweet
off.
Sweet logo.
Yeah, it.
I think this is pretty cool.
It reminds me of American sportswear stuff, like when you look at, say, the very boldness, simplistic visual design, and when you compare it to the previous one, that kind of looks like a beer commercial.
Oh my gosh.
The beer. You know, it looks like something you see in a bit.
This one, no. The old logo looks like a smashed wasp. The new one looks like it's gonna, like, it's like a fierce. It's literally all they did was change the eye shape and the antennas to point down. Like they had versus like sharp, you know what I mean? Basically sharp lines on the antennas and a circle. It's so funny how you just simply change like those two elements and it makes like such a dramatic difference. This, I would say, in terms of like playing the Wasps, intimidation with their old logo is like a 1 out of 10. The new one is like a solid 7 out of 10 intimidation of like, I think this is a big upgrade.
Yes, I mean, the old one looks like something you'd get on a beer bottle, you know, drink Wasp beer. But the new one is like, this is, you know, an actual sports team. Interestingly enough, the fans hate it. And so if you go on through the article,
what?
Yeah, this is, but the thing is, fans are used to it. Like, you know, if they're used to a logo, there's always uproar. And so some people were posting on Twitter that the Wasp looks like it's walking on its back legs, and someone did an image of like it's carrying 2 pints of beer. Like, all right, Steve.
But, all right, now I yeah, that's pretty funny.
So, but if you scroll down to the article, you can actually see the tweet, like someone's did a mock of a wasp carrying his beer. And so it's like they said, all right, Sting, you're round. But yeah, I think it's worth noting that because the style looks like an American football style logo, that could be what the pushback is, because rugby and American football, there's always been this contention between the two different sports. So there may be an element of that. But again, I think as sportswear go, the logo is really, really nice. Very sharp, very like simplistic, much more aggressive, pointing in the right direction, looking forward, I think is what they described it, as opposed to looking in the past. And again, it's like, you know, I think there's an element of maybe we're being conscious of what's to come. So yeah, and I think overall it's a really, really nice, cool logo. Very sharp colours. And you know, you can't lose with yellow, black and white, really, can you?
I don't think so. No, I think this is cool. I personally am a fan of the upgrade. I love that. Of course, loyal sports fans are always looking for a good meme. So this is pretty awesome. But that's it. You know, we just went over, what is that, 5 articles from the creative block on logo updates. So get inspired if you're a logo designer. If we missed anything, you know, drop it in the YouTube comments. And if you haven't done so, if you use Apple Podcasts, if you would be so kind, please leave us a glowing review talking about how Ryan and Mustafa are just absolute delights to listen to. That would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for joining today's episode of Design Huddle, and we will catch you on the next one. Peace.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Design Huddle. The opinions expressed are solely our own and do not express the views or opinions of our employer.